Everybody doing well? How do you like that time change? Time change good? Yeah. I think we had some more casualties this morning from it. I know there's quite a few out of town too, but this time I could do the fall time change. It's the spring time change that messes with me, but I'm doing pretty good so far today. Years ago, I actually lost a job in the spring because of the time change. Hasn't happened since. I've learned from my mistake. Wish I could say that in every aspect, that we learn from the mistakes. You know, when you're growing and you're learning new things and you're learning to hear from the Lord, you know it's okay to make mistakes. You know that, right? Because sin is not the same thing as a mistake, and a mistake is not the same thing as sin. And it's okay to make mistakes. As a matter of fact, that's one of the ways we learn. Now, I think it's best that we learn from other people's mistakes. So we don't repeat. Sometimes I've learned from other leaders. I'm like, by the things that I've seen that were wrong, and by their mistakes, it's like, oh man, I don't want to be aware of that and not do the same thing. I think that's part of being more than a conqueror. When we don't have to repeat, and you know, in humanness. It seems like, because even when I grew up as a teenager, it seemed like even when I had parents or other leaders telling me in my life, don't do this, don't make those choices, like I had to learn the hard way, you know. It seems like that's the way most humans are. That's not being more than a conqueror. Being more than a conqueror is learning from those that have already experienced certain things, went through certain things. Being more than a conqueror is learning to hear the voice of God as he's navigating you through life to make wise decisions and choices, that you don't have to spend time backtracking or spend even years. You hearing what I'm saying? We can be a conqueror or we can be a more than a conqueror, and the Lord calls us more than conquerors. We have the opportunity to be more than a conqueror. To receive all of the benefits and the glory even from the things that Jesus has conquered. I want to just share a few things. I really want to get back on the topic of Holy Spirit, and we'll probably do that today too, to kind of get back into that. Because I think that's so important for where we're at, especially as a congregation, what God has called us to do in this region, in this area. And we need the Holy Spirit. So desperately, we need to be led by him. We need to recognize his voice. We need to develop intimacy with him, know his heartbeat, know where he's leading us, guiding us, how he's teaching us, how he's showing us things. And so it's very, very, very important, and it's a huge topic. But I want to share a few things. If we can maybe go to Ephesians chapter 4, probably three different scriptures that the Lord has just, I've just been kind of meditating on here in the last few days. But we'll start here in Ephesians chapter 4. And I think I'll just start here in verse 7. Well, let's just start with verse 1. How's that? Is that all right? I'm going to read. It'll be quite a bit of scripture here to read. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, let's not confuse individual calling to a specific function of ministry from the overall calling, which is, this is being addressed here. It's an overall calling that God has called everyone unto himself. And those who have answered the call and become born again have Jesus in their heart. This is the calling that is common to all of the body of Christ that he's referring to. So he's not referring to a specific individual calling and function but an overall general calling. And he says to walk, which means to live. Orient your life. Live in a way that is worthy, in a manner or a way that is worthy of the calling which you have been called. Live in a manner worthy of Christ and his kingdom, because that's the calling. It's a calling us out of the world system into the kingdom system. It's out of the natural into the supernatural. It's out of the mundane, normal, what we might call normal, even within our own American culture. So live, orient your life in such a way that's worthy of the kingdom, of that way, of that calling to life, with all what? Humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Man, that's a big mouthful right there we just read. Notice how many character traits he just named. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, love, being diligent, that's a character trait. Persevering, character trait. Notice all those character traits. See, to live in a manner worthy of our calling is to live in Christ-like character traits. I know I may sound like a broken record with this here lately, but I'm going to continue hammering because it's Christ-like character trait. God's overall purpose of the whole world is he's already made provision for every human being to accept him, to receive forgiveness of sin, to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, to be born again, birthed from above, receive a brand new spirit, to be recreated in his image, to be really called into and birthed into being a son in his house. He's already made that provision for every one of us, and that is his overall purpose, is he wants every human being to receive Christ. But once we receive Christ, then the next thing, the very next priority in our life is he wants to really create us in his image and be Christ-like in our character traits. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he spoke in many ways, in a variety of different ways through the prophets, and now he speaks to us through his son. He conveys truth in so many different facets and ways, because every one of us learns differently, we hear differently. Sometimes we need to hear things over and over and over before we get it. Sometimes we need to see it, sometimes we need to work it. So it, just different ways that God does. And may we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And he wants us to come into Christ's likeness, to have the character traits of Christ. It's our greatest, the armor of God, our greatest weapons, our greatest defense is character. You can't fake character for very long. You can fake a lot of things, but character is not one of them that you can fake for very long. So he names a bunch of character traits. Verse 3 says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, we can have disagreements. My wife and I don't agree on everything. I know it might shock you. Don't fall out. Stay seated, upright. It doesn't say that we must agree on everything to have unity. I mean, there may be things about the Word of God. You see it differently than I see it. And you know that's okay. Yeah. As long as in the end that you see it my way. No, I'm just kidding. We can disagree without being disagreeable, without separation, without division, which is two visions, by the way. See, Christ is, he's the foundation, he's the only way, he is our focus. And as long as we keep our focus on the Lord, we can still have differences. I mean, look across the globe, there's differences of culture and differences of food and music preferences, and people see because they fit the gospel within their culture, and some of that stuff is fine, it is okay. We can have differences, but we need to be diligent, because the Word of God tells us to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, and one baptism. There's not many. There's not many roads to the Father. There's not many roads to heaven. There's one. One way. One Lord, one King, one faith, one kingdom, and one King of the kingdom. And God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of his gift. Grace is God's enabling power to do what we cannot do on our own. And he says, every one of us has received grace from God and enabling to do what we can't do on our own. You know, too often when God speaks to us to do something, whether it be a ministry aspect, a job, or a work, oftentimes we take account of the natural. Whether I have enough resources, enough money, am I smart enough, can I do it? Do I feel like I can do it? I wrestled with the Lord on several different things like that. But the Lord's not dependent on our natural means or resources, knowledge, or anything else. And if he called us to do things that we can do on our own, then we wouldn't need him to do it anyway. Which is too often what we see in America. Even in the body of Christ, we see things that we can do on our own. Because of the resources, the amount of resources that we have, financial, talent, ability, and in every other means. Each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts, grace gifts, to men. Now this expression, verse 9, he ascended, what does it mean, except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles. Let's keep it in context. Christ himself is giving gifts, grace gifts, and there's several of them that are listed here. He, Jesus, gave a grace gift of an apostle, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And what is their purpose? They are to equip the saints for the work of service. Don't let your mind go blank here, because this is such a common passage of Scripture. You ever do that? You hear something preached? I've heard it 100 times. I know that Scripture. I know that passage. I've heard it preached 100 different ways from Sunday. I've heard it. Don't do that. We will turn things off, and we won't receive what the Lord may be speaking to you, because the Lord can be speaking to you something other than what I'm saying. But if we have an attitude of, I've already heard it, we just shut it off, whatever, then you'll miss everything God wants you to have. See, sometimes I think there's a misconception in our thinking about God, that we think God is so sovereign that God's will gets accomplished no matter what we do. And that's simply incorrect. There's no scriptural evidence that proves that. The Bible tells us that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. We have delegated authority here on the earth. I mean, look around. The shape and condition and the culture that we're living in is not a result of God's doing. It's a result of man's doing. Why? Because man is the lower, there is a delegated authority on the earth. It's not God's will that there's sex trafficking and murder and rape and incest, all this kind of stuff. This is not God's will. And so many Christians sit back and go, oh, well, you know, just God's in control. No. He's in ultimate control of everything. What he said in this word and where the age is going to end up, that's true. That's going to happen. But he's going to use men to get it done. And we have a choice whether we're going to function with the Lord or not. You know, we have an election coming up in November, and it's, I always hear this from Christians, and it's very popular because they believe that God is so sovereign, and they take the scripture out of context that says God just puts all these leaders in who he wants, with regardless of what man does. And it's not true at all. God's not sovereign to where he just comes against our own will. He won't barge into your life and make you, force you to do anything. That's not the God we serve. He gives us choice. And the condition that we find ourselves in is really, for the most part, now there's certain things that happen that are beyond our control, but many things are by choices that we make. See, I believe that one of the most valuable things God gives us is will, choice. And I don't believe he'll ever take it away from us for all of eternity. I don't believe when we're with him in the that he'll just take that ability to choose away from us and we become some kind of robot. He didn't create Adam and Eve that way in the garden. It wasn't God's will. God told them what to do, what not to do. Everything's available to you. Just one thing, don't eat that. God didn't set them up to fail, that he gave them choice. See, without choice, we don't have freedom and we don't have liberty. And God will never take that freedom of choice away from us. So he gives us here, it's listed here in Ephesians 4, 5. We call these fivefold gifts. We can call them whatever we really want to. Five office gifts, five leadership gifts. He says, I've given some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And their purpose is this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. I want you just to think about that too. Maybe just not right now, but think about that later. What is the work of service? What is that? Shut your phone off. What is the work of service? See, is the work of service just, you know, raising our kids to be good citizens, to get a high school education, to go on to college, to have a career, to have a family? All that is great stuff. It really is. It's really, really good. But we need to impart into it, we have a work of service in the kingdom because God's got an ultimate plan and he's bringing this age to a close. And what has he called us to do and to function, whether we're in one of these seven mountains, every one of us is in at least one of them, if not two of them. To bring a kingdom influence everywhere we're at. He doesn't just send you to school only to get an education, but he sends you there to also bring influence. Everywhere we go, everything he calls us to do, it always has a double purpose, at least a double purpose. And he's taking us from faith to faith. He's growing us. He's teaching us. And you know, when you're growing and becoming more and more mature in the Lord, you go through growing pains. You make mistakes, and it's not always easy. And many times, I've seen this before, that many people just plateau in their place because it's easier to plateau. It's easier just to stay immature. See, maturity in the kingdom is not dependent on age nor time being a Christian. Both of those have very little to almost nothing to do with maturity in the kingdom. You could be very mature and be very, very young. And you could be very immature and be quite old. And Jesus is the one who gave these gifts, and these gifts were given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. But he doesn't just stop there. And he says to build up the body of Christ. What does that mean? Does it just mean building up as in quantity? No, it's building up in quality. Until what? until we all attain, not until just one congregation, one denomination, but until we all, the whole body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, which means we haven't arrived there yet, which also means that not one of these fivefold giftings has been done away with. Because it says all five of them are needed to equip us, to get us into a place of maturity, to grow until we attain to the unity of the faith. Which also means that I need apostles, I need prophets, I need pastors, I need teachers, I need these gifts, so do you. For us to grow, to be healthy and mature, we need all of these functioning. It doesn't necessarily mean one congregation has all of these. God has so created us to be dependent. We will never be an island unto ourselves. He will never tell us everything we need to know, individually, personally. He will always use other people in our life to convey truths, to help, pray for, whatever it is, because he's made us dependent on one another in him. I mean, you know, we can say Apostle Paul was probably the greatest apostle to ever live, especially during biblical times. But when God struck him and he was blind, and he had to have another man come to him. Could he have just decreed it out of his mouth? Sure, it could have. Could God have made it a certain way where he didn't need? Sure, God could have, but he didn't. Because we're dependent on others and we need other people. Does anybody have a sore in their mouth? You just, like, you have some kind of sore, like a canker sore or something? Anybody? Cold type of thing? You do, Ann? Or somebody else? I see Lori's mouth opening. Jay's inspecting Lori's mouth. Do you have a sore? They're gone? Good. What were you doing, Ann? Did you have something? There's something in your mouth? Which side? Right there? Keep your hand on it right now. We just speak to that sore right now in Jesus' name. You be gone. And whatever's causing it, any root ailment that's in your body and that's causing it, we command it in Jesus' name to be gone now. So he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? A mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result of what? As a result of maturity, here are some key things. That we will no longer be children, excuse me, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, this new thing. Oh, that new thing. Oh, God's doing this today. Oh, God's doing that tomorrow. Oh, God's called me to do this today. Next Tuesday, God's called me to do this now. I know we don't know anybody like that, and it's certainly not us. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Man, we could probably spend quite a bit of time, several weeks of Sundays, just on this passage here. Jesus gave us gifts, and these gifts are men and women who have grace on their life as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors and teachers, to equip us to do the work of the kingdom, to help us mature and grow. I personally believe one of the reasons why many in the body of Christ are staying, just one of the reasons, there's quite a few, is because they won't submit themselves to any of these. And I'm not talking about a heavy-handed submitted to where they're telling you what to do. I'm just talking about learning from them, pulling on their anointing, giving them honor and just pulling on it and drawing and learning on what they say, what they're speaking. You know, that's what happened to Jesus. Some people just looked at Jesus like, I don't understand what this guy's saying, walked away, unchanged. And others clinged on every word, and they were changed. They were healed, and they were set free. We have a choice. But God wants us to grow up and to become mature. Why? As a result, we're no longer children, just here, there, living by our own emotions, living by our feelings, living by what pleases me, what I want, what's best for me. Living by the lust of our own pleasures and desires. See, that's immaturity. That's being childlike. See, there's a difference between having childlike faith and just being childish. And God wants us to grow and to become more mature in Him. He doesn't want us carried away by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, by speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects, not one, not two, but in every aspect. Into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together. This is so cool. I just love God's plan. That as we're growing and maturing, gifts in every one of them, us, are becoming more and more evident and manifest. And it says that as we're growing up into Him, the head, the whole body is being fitted together. And everyone becomes a joint that's supplying what we all need. Does that make sense? It's not just these fivefold ministry gifts. It's everyone. It's everyone that is growing and maturing, and their gifts are becoming more and more evident, and their understanding of the knowledge of God, their perspective, their revelation, their abilities that God has graced them with is now becoming a joint, which what does a joint do? It links us together. According to the proper working, you can be a joint and have arthritis in the joint and it doesn't work properly. You can have a joint in the knee and your cartilage be completely gone and it's painful. So you could be a joint and be very painful. No, I did not. I just look around. I just got to be a pain in the joint. The proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I love this passage of Scripture. There's so much meat right there. It's a fascinating. I'm going to have you turn to a few more. It looks like I'm just not going to get to the Holy Spirit specifically today, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, infancy, or being immature, infancy is being self-centered. Self-centeredness causes divisions. Maturity is being Christ-centered. And being Christ-centered causes unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh. What's he saying? Even though you're born again, you have a brand new spirit on the inside of you, I couldn't relate to you like that. I spoke to you, or I had to, brethren, I could not speak to you as born again men, but as men of flesh, those that are unregenerate, that do not know the Lord. So even though they knew the Lord, he couldn't relate to them and speak to them and teach them like they were born again. Isn't that fascinating? But as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Now, Paul's talking about early on. He's relating to earlier, not at the time that he wrote this letter, at an earlier time. I couldn't relate to you that way. Even though you got born again, I couldn't relate to you. I had to relate to you as infants in Christ, as those that are immature, even to like you weren't even born again to begin with. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it then. And then he's saying, because now he's rebuking them. He's saying, even now, you're still not yet able to. Now, I want all of us to look at, is the reasons why he said that the Corinthian church was not able to receive solid food, but only milk. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, because you are still fleshly. You're still natural-minded, natural-acting, worldly. He said, for the simple reason, because there's jealousy and strife among you. He names a couple works of the flesh. There are works of the flesh among you, and because of that, because of your immaturity, you're not able to receive solid food. You can only take the milk of the word. See, milk has its purpose, but we're only going to mature from solid food. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? What's he saying? Aren't you just living like other men that are not born again, that have not entered the kingdom, that are not sons and daughters of the king? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? Are you not just acting? What's he saying? You're allowing divisions. See, immaturity and worldliness causes divisions. So it's just a natural result. See, he's trying to show them because of your worldliness, the jealousy and strife that's among you, that is worldliness. And then it's causing some of you to say, well, I'm following Paul. Well, I'm following Apollo. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a Baptist. And we're allowing our divisions to separate instead of the love of God, because Colossians 3:14 says, love is the perfect bond of unity. But immaturity, infancy in Christ, is causing disunity, division. And oftentimes we criticize things because we're immature that we don't understand instead of seeking the Lord on it. I just felt like that was a word from the Lord for somebody. Now let's back up to chapter 2, verse 14. And he says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. See, a man or a woman that's not born again, and maybe you're in this room and you've never accepted Christ, you've never received him into your heart, you've not been born again, you're probably having a very difficult time even understanding what I'm talking about. People like this, when they read the Bible, they don't understand it. Doesn't make sense. Why? It doesn't make sense to their natural mind. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. That's just a fact. That's just truth and a fact. People can say, I'm a Christian, go to church, carry a big old Bible, can quote verses. But unless they're born again and they've become a brand new individual, they're not going to understand. That's one of the reasons why so often we're just stuck. Now, I'm not just talking about our congregation. I'm talking about a bigger, but people are just stuck with milk. They can't grasp it. They can't grasp anything beyond milk. So I really sense in my heart that God is wanting to, I have for quite a while, that he's really wanting to speak some. You know, some of the things that God has spoken through us and through other prophets and people we're connected with all over are some pretty cool, deep things. But I really feel like, and just sense in my heart, there's so much more the Lord wants to relay to us. But we have to position ourselves to be able to hear it. Sometimes when God speaks, just like what the Word says, I heard a thunder, but I didn't recognize what He was saying. Something happened, but I don't have any idea what that was. God doesn't want us to be in that place where I don't have any idea what that was. You understand what I'm saying? But it's growing and maturing and becoming more Christ-like. And that's not easy all the time. And one of the ways that God creates us, that creates that image of Christ-likeness in us and just really imparts those character traits, is He does it by on-the-job training. He puts us in places that we need to be more patient. He doesn't just, as we're sleeping, dump it on us. I wish He would. Be easier. But if we need to be more patient, He brings us to places where it's more patience is required, and then He works that in us if we submit to Him. But the more we fight it, we need to be more loving. He puts us in those positions that more love is required. We need to endure. He'll put us in those positions. And that's not always easy, is it? No, but He's working those things in us, working those things in us. That is His second greatest priority with us. Not using us to do mighty things, that's not His priority. His second greatest priority with the whole world, His first is to bring every person that is possible that will receive Him, and second is for us to be developed into Christ-likeness, character traits, that will stand, that we won't compromise, we'll stand for truth. We'll do what He's showing us to do. We'll say what He's showing us to say. A natural man, verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised or examined. But he who is spiritual, he who has been regenerated, he who is born again, they are now examining and appraising things. See, that's where God wants us to be. Spiritually. See, when we look out on the landscape of our culture and we look out on our presidential election and people that are running for office, whatever it might be, our job landscape, whatever He has you in, He wants us to be able to appraise everything by the Spirit, not by what we're seeing, not by what we're feeling, not by what we're just hearing everybody else saying, but to appraise things by the Spirit of God, to be steady and sure, to be ruled by peace in a chaotic world. You understand? That's how we appraise. You know, if you have a piece of jewelry and you want to know, maybe a diamond, and you want to know how much it's worth, you take it to somebody that is trustworthy, that can what? Appraise it, examine it, and determine and write you a certificate of appraisal and say, this diamond is worth this. Not everybody can do that. Only people who are trained can do that. See, we got to keep ourselves in that place of being trained. He's training us. God doesn't waste time with us. Have you ever felt like sometimes in your life that it's just, I feel like I'm wasting time? I mean, maybe you are, but God doesn't waste time. I've had God do things with me, tell me things, and then He just wants me to wait. Just wait. And I get in a hurry. I want to get it done. Let's get on with it. Nope. I'll tell you when it's time. See, He's working character trait in me. He wants me to persevere. He wants me to endure. He wants my faith to grow. I trust You. He wants me to be more sensitive to hear His voice, not to be moved by emotion, feeling, my own thought process, and human reasonings. Is this making sense to you today? But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I know we quote that, we'll say it, we'll pray it, we'll decree it. But the Lord really wants us to have that. That we're so in tune with the Lord that we have His mindset. That we have been growing and maturing with the Lord so much to the point where we can appraise all things by the Spirit. When we watch the news, we can say that's not true, but that is true. Something else is missing. We're appraising things. We're examining things by the Spirit. Not how we feel, not just by what we're hearing, not just by how we feel about it, sense it. It can't be learned in school nor taught to us by a lesson, but by spending time with the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Immaturity, infancy, is being self-centered, which leads to division. Maturity is being Christ-centered, which leads to unity. I mean, you know, if you really just think about, even in marriages or any relationship or any organization, what causes disunity? It's usually when one person or a group of people want their way over another. It's self-centeredness. I mean, that's just the simplistic way of saying it. Right? Am I right? Tell me I'm right or wrong. I have a preconceived idea and I want that to happen. And when I get frustrated when I don't see that happening and I start causing problems. And I start gaining support in the workplace with people who get on my side so they will see it the way I see it. And then we can just have an insurrection. Happens in churches, happens in families. Yeah, it's manipulation, control, deception. And it all is a root of what? Self-centeredness, which really, we actually only have one serious problem, humans. It's called pride. It's the self-life. We want what is best for us. I mean, if you think about a lot of the times the way we choose things, whether it be a job, a career, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a husband, wife, a car, and some of that's fine. I mean, you can choose a car or different things that you want. Because you can get over-religious and legalistic about things. But God's got a path of life for us. Here, let's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Why is it hard to explain? He's telling them because you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Now notice the phrasing in this next part here. It says, for you have come to need milk. What does that sound like? They were progressing on their way to deeper things, but something happened in this process, and now they've regressed back to just needing milk again. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature. Why? What makes somebody mature according to this passage? Well, let's read it. Because of practice. Because of practice. Because of practice. Because of practice, because of practice, they have their senses trained to discern, to be able to appraise all things, to discern what's good and what's evil. Because of practice. What is practice? Because of doing, doing what God has shown. Learning and learning and learning is not good enough. We have to do what we've been learning. We have to put into practice what God is showing us, what God is teaching us. We have to walk in the light that He's revealing to us. You know what light, what I mean by that? Light is revelation truth. It is truth. When God reveals some truth to you or me, we accept that truth and then we put it into practice. We start applying it to our life. When we begin to apply that to our life, He begins to give us more. And that's how we grow. The more we practice, the more we grow. The more we grow, the more we're able to discern between what is right, what is wrong, what is God, what is not, what is good, what is evil. We're able to appraise things in the Spirit. This is powerful, man. This excites me so much. This is not anybody coming and laying hands on you and you instantly get it. This is a growth process. And as we're growing through this and as we're maturing through this and we don't plateau anywhere. That's what's cool about with the Lord. You can grow as much as you want. You can grow as fast as you want. In the 20 plus years that I've been in ministry, I have seen some people that have grown so quick. It's amazing. And you know, everybody can grow that fast. I would call out a couple names because a couple of you in here that I've seen that happen with. But I've also seen this happen, that there's explosive growth and all of a sudden God is wanting more from us and we stop because it's uncomfortable. It's costing us too much. And we plateau. I've seen it with people that they've grown so fast and then God starts dealing with their finances and wants them to give and they started it and they stopped. It. You'll plateau. You can plateau anywhere you want with the Lord. And then we can blame it on God that we're not growing and we don't have, but it's not God's fault. It's our lack of response because as we're growing with the Lord, God just expects us to keep going with Him. I personally believe this is mind-blowing because my mind's not smart enough to even conceive of this, but I believe for all eternity we're going to continue to grow with the Lord and learn more and more about Him. I don't think it can ever be exhausted. That just blows my mind. That's my personal belief, and that's just because out of the character of God and His nature of things. But I want to encourage you. This is not, I hope you're not taking this as a condemning type of message. I am trying to encourage you. You can have everything God has for you. You can fulfill your destiny. Don't stop. Don't plateau. Keep growing. Keep growing. When God is speaking to you something as hard as it might be, just do what God is showing you to do. When we're doing the Kansas City Bible experience, which is, you know, reading the Word of God and getting the Word. The Word of God is what, it's the bread of life because it's Jesus. Jesus was the Word and became flesh. And as we're feasting on the Word, not just just eating it, but when our bodies, when we respond to it, as you're reading through the New Testament and being challenged in those areas, listen to the voice of God. When you're reading something and God is using that as a mirror back into your life, respond to it. That's how you're going to grow. And the more you respond to it, the more explosive growth you will have. And the more growth that you have in Christ's likeness, the more you're going to be able to discern what God is doing, what He's not doing. The voice of God. The leading of the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been trying to get back to talk about. Of what, even being able to tell what the Holy Spirit is doing, what He's leading us and guiding us. Don't we want to get there? I mean, I think we're already there in some degree, but I want to get there even more. I don't want to sit around questioning and wondering and just, what are you up to? That's what I want to jump into. Where are you leading? Because His anointing, His blessing is already on what He's called. See, we got to get out of, well, we'll just start something and ask God to come and bless it. No, His blessing's is already on what He has prescribed, what He has ordained for us to walk in. And God knows the destiny of every one of us. He knows what He's created every one of us to accomplish. That's already been done from the foundation of the earth. And all we have to do is walk in what God has for us. And we can miss it by our lack of choices, the right choices. But we need to grow and to become mature in the Lord. And as I said last week, God wants us to grow and to mature in our prayer life, in our prophetic decrees, in our prophecy, to grow, to know what He's saying so we can say what He's saying. Amen? There just doesn't seem to be enough time to share everything that the Lord is saying, and And I know the Lord is speaking to you. But continue to grow. It's our choice. It really is. It's our choice whether we're going to continue to grow or not. Let's not judge ourselves by ourselves. What do they call that in school? When you do a test and then it's grading on a curve. That's what they call it. Whoever's got the best, isn't it whoever's got the best score and then everybody else is graded on that instead of, no, 100% is 100%, rather nobody got it or, you know. Jesus is our example. He's the one. Him. He's the center. He's the focus of our attention and our likeness. Let's just spend a little time here as we're preparing to kind of leave. And just put our minds and our attention and focused on the Lord. God, you are everything to us. It's not just a pat saying, it's true. You came, we are so grateful, so thankful that you came and sought us out. You saw the ugliness of our condition, the sinful state, the prideful, arrogant state that we were in. We were so lost without you. But you saw that and you humbled yourself. Because of your love, your unconditional love for us. And you came and sought us, paid our price to set us free from ourselves, to set us free from every chain that bound us. We bless you. We honor you for that, Lord. God, we pray, Father, for the kingdom, for kingdom expansion in our region. We pray for other congregations in our city, Father. That God, that you would do a work of your Spirit in an even greater measure than you're already doing to link us together in unity. To fit us together, congregation to congregation, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, that is my prayer for all across this great nation and all across the globe. That you link us with others internationally all over the place. Father, we lift up our country to you, Father. We acknowledge that we have a primary election on Tuesday. God, I pray that everyone 18 years and older would be registered to vote and get out and vote. Is everybody registered that can be registered here? You registered to vote? Get out Tuesday and vote. Exercise your constitutional freedoms and liberties and rights. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. As we get closer, I'm just going to teach truths from the Word of God like I did before President Obama was elected. Just truth, how God develops leadership. But we have to hear from ourselves. When you get into that ballot box, hear what God is saying. The Spirit of God is saying, and vote for that person. God, we lift up our elections to you, God, for this nation. Lord, we know our hope really is in no man. It's not in a political party. It's not in the government of the United States. America is not the kingdom of God. And we're so grateful that you have called us to be your ecclesia in the earth, your ruling governmental system of the kingdom of heaven. God, I ask that you would give us greater revelation and truth on that. Lord, we do know that you work through leaders. You work through kings. You work through presidents. You have set up civil governments, the principle of authority. So, Father, my prayer is that we would just as your body, as your people, be led by the Spirit of God on who we are to vote for. We know this country has such a great destiny and it has not fulfilled its purpose in your great plan. We ask for an awakening and a revival in the land, God. A spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst like there's never been before. May our eyes be open to see the harvest, that it's ripe and that it's ready. Father, I pray that we would continue to grow and mature. We would not plateau in any place. That we would say yes and amen to everything that you're speaking to us, everything that you're leading, everything that you're guiding. That we would be set free, Father, that it's okay to make mistakes in our growth process. It's okay to make mistakes that we learn from those mistakes. We learn from other people's mistakes. But we continue on. We go forward. We continue growing and maturing, becoming more and more like Christ in character, in the way we think, in the way we speak, in the way we act. Anybody have anything?